You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from Tan. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from Tan. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 127, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 2, from the section pertaining to Jesus' teaching mission. Today, we begin number 16. Jesus leaves Ramoth and goes to Arga, Azo, and Ephron. 16. After assisting at an entertainment given him by the Levites, Jesus, with seven disciples and some people belonging to Ramoth, went northward and crossed the Jabbok. After climbing the mountains westward for about 3 hours, they arrived at the ancient kingdom of Basan and reached a city with two very steep mountains on one side and a long one on the other. It was called Arga and belonged to the district Argob in the half-tribe Manasses. An hour and a half or 2 hours eastward from Arga, near the source of the brook Og, was situated a great city named Gerasa. To the southeast of this, and on the elevated site, one could see Jabesh Galad. The country around was stony. At a distance, one might think there were no trees in these parts, but many sections were covered with low green bushes. The kingdom of Basan commenced here, and Arga was its first city. The family of the half-tribe of Manasses extended a little farther to the south, about an hour northward of the Jabbok. I saw a boundary marked off by stakes. Jesus stayed overnight with his companions about half an hour from the city in a public inn, situated on a grand highway that ran from the east toward Arga. The disciples had food with them. In the night, when all were asleep, Jesus arose and went alone into the open air to pray. Arga was a large, populous, and extraordinarily clean city. Like most of the cities in these parts, where pagans form a portion of the population. It was built in the form of a star, the streets wide and straight. The mode of life was quite different from that observed in Judea and Galilee, the customs being much better. Levites were sent hither from Jerusalem and other localities to teach in the synagogue. They were changed from time to time, for if those sent did not give satisfaction, the people had the right to complain and thus get others. People of bad conduct were not allowed to go at large. They were sent to a place of punishment and there detained. The inhabitants did not carry on private housekeeping. That is, they did not prepare their food in their own houses. They had large public kitchens where all was cooked, and whither they went either to get their food and carry it to their homes or to partake of it in halls adjoining. They slept on the roofs of their houses under tents. They were large, dyeing establishments in this city, for they were skillful in the art of coloring, producing especially beautiful violets. The manufacture and embroidery of large carpets were also carried on here with more skill and to a greater extent than in Ramoth. Between the city and the wall ran tent after tent, where women sat and worked at long strips of stuff stretched before them. On account of the delicate nature of their employments, the people of Arga were famed of old for their exceedingly great cleanliness. Quantities of oil of superior quality were produced around Arga. The olive trees grew in large rows neatly tied to trellises. Down in the valley toward the Jordan, the people had numerous of camels and excellent pasture grounds. There grew also in this region a precious wood, which was used in the building of the Ark of the Covenant and the table of showbread. The bark of the tree that produced it was smooth and beautiful. The branches hung like those of the willow. The leaves were like pear leaves, though very much larger, green on one side and on the other covered with some gray-colored stuff. It bore berries, like the fruit of the dog rose, though larger. The wood was exceedingly hard and tough, and could be split into very fine strips like bark. When dry and bleached, it became firm and beautiful and almost indestructible. The tree contained a very fine pith, which was extracted by incisions so as to leave in the center of the inmost plank only a delicate reddish vein. The wood was made into little tables and used for all kinds of inlaid work. They dealt also in myrrh and other spices, although these did not grow there. They obtained from them the caravans that often unloaded their camels and rested here for weeks at a time. They pressed the spices into balls and prepared them to be used by the Jews in the embalming of the dead. The cows and sheep of Arga were very large. When, on the following morning, Jesus and his disciples went toward Arga, the Levites and chief men of the city met him with every mark of respect, conducted him to a tent, washed his feet, and presented him refreshments. Some of the disciples had gone on before Jesus to appraise the townspeople of his coming. He taught in the synagogue, and after which he cured a great many sick, among them numbers of consumptives. He went likewise to many of the sick in their homes. Toward 3 o'clock, a dinner was spread. Jesus dined with the Levites in a public hall, the dishes having been brought thither from the eating house. In the evening, he taught again in the synagogue, for it was the commencement of the Sabbath. Next morning, he gave another discourse, speaking at length of Moses in the wilderness on Mount Sinai and Horeb, of the construction of the Ark of the Covenant, of the table of showbread, etc. As the ancestors of his hearers had sent offerings for the same, Jesus alluded to them as symbolical. He exhorted them now in the time of their fulfillment to bring heart and soul as an offering by penance and conversion, and he showed them the connection between that offering of their forefathers and their own present condition. But I do not remember it. The substance of this discourse was as follows. While Jesus was speaking, I had an extended and circumstantial vision of the departure of the Israelites from Egypt. I saw that Jethro, the father-in-law, and Sephora, the wife of Moses, dwelt in Arga, with the two sons and the daughter of the latter. I saw Jethro with the wife and the children of Moses, journeying to join him on Mount Horeb. Moses received them most joyfully and related all the miracles wrought by God for the deliverance of his people from Egypt, whereupon Jethro offered sacrifice. I saw, too, that Moses at this time settled the disputes of all the Israelites himself, but Jethro counseled him to nominate subordinate judges. He then returned home, leaving Sephora and her sons with Moses. I saw Jethro recounting in Arga all the wonders he had seen, and many were thereby roused to great reverence for the God of the Israelites. Then Jethro sent Moses presents and offerings on camels, to which the Argites had contributed. The presents consisted of fine oil, which was afterward burned before the tabernacle, very fine, long strands of camel hair for spinning and weaving into covers and curtains, and most beautiful setim wood, which was afterward made into the poles of the Ark of the Covenant and the table of the showbread. I think, too, they sent a species of grain, out of which the showbread was made. It was made from the pith of a reed-like plant, from which long before I saw Mary making pap. On the Sabbath, Jesus taught in the synagogue from Isaiah and Deuteronomy 21:26. He spoke also of Balak and the prophet Balaam. I saw many things connected with both, but I cannot now recall them. That evening, in the Sabbath instructions, he related from the law of Moses, which had previously been read, the history of Zambri, and the Medanite stabbed by Phinehas, Numbers 25:7. Here, Anne Catherine repeated in an admirable manner, although she had never heard nor read them, a number of the laws of Moses as set forth in Deuteronomy 21:26. They were those that especially corresponded to her own position in childhood, and the ideas peculiar to the occupations connected with it. For instance, the law forbidding one that was found a bird's nest to take the parent birds, as well as the young. That which commands the gleanings of the harvest to be left for the poor. That which prohibits pledges to be taken from the poor, or borrowing them, etc. Jesus touched upon all these points, dwelling at length upon the law that forbids defrauding laborers of their wages, because the people of Arga lived by labor. Sister Emmerich was rejoiced when told that all those laws could be found in the Bible, and she wondered at having heard them so correctly. The Sabbath over, Jesus went to an inn belonging to the pagans who had sent him by the disciples, the most pressing invitation to that effect. He was received with great humility and affection. He instructed them upon the call of the heathens, telling them that he was now come to gain over those that had not been conquered by the Israelites. They questioned him upon the fulfillment of the prophecy that the scepter should be taken away from Judah at the time of the Messiah, and he gave them an answer full of instruction. They knew the story of the three kings and begged for baptism. Jesus explained what the ceremony meant, that it was to be for them a preparation for their sharing in the kingdom of the Messiah. These good pagans were travelers, and it had been a couple of weeks at Arga, awaiting the arrival of a caravan. They numbered 5 families, about 37 souls in all. They could not go to the baptism at Enon for fear of missing the caravan. They asked Jesus where they should take up their future residence, and he indicated to them the place I never heard him speaking to the heathens of circumcision, but he always insisted on continence and the obligation of having but one wife. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Just a few things worthy of our commentary here, and we'll pick up tomorrow where we left off today, but as one of the things that we hear in the reading, talks about the Ark of the Covenant and the Table of Showbread, talks about the tree and the bark of the tree that produced it, that it was smooth and beautiful. Just think that everything God has created has a purpose. And that tree, planted by someone long, long, long ago, that tree would be cut down, and that tree would play an important role in God's presence among the Israelites. That tree would become the container that would be the Ark of the Covenant or the Table of Showbread. God uses his creation for his purposes to show forth his grandeur. We continue to hear, you know, kind of the same pattern in all of these readings, right? Jesus is going to a place, sends his disciples ahead, they preach, they get people ready, Jesus heals, and it's kind of very repetitive. This is the cycle of the Lord. This is what he does. He's doing the work of his Father as he is teaching, as he is healing, as he's going about doing all of these things. Jesus does the will of the Father. What an interesting kind of excursus that we had in our reading. There were 2 of them, actually. The first one just being that as she was relating about Jesus, she then goes into this, I had this circumstantial vision of the departure of the Israelites from Egypt. And why did she have that vision? Because the very city that they're in is where these things took place, where Moses and his wife and others dwelt in Arga with their 2 sons and a daughter of the latter and so forth, so on. So where Jesus is allows her to have these flashbacks into the Old Testament. Now, the other interesting excursus that we had was a parenthetical paragraph. Here, Anne Catherine Emmerich repeated in an admirable manner, although she never heard nor read them a number of the laws of Moses. So, first of all, this paragraph is written not by Anne Catherine Emmerich. Now, it kind of helps us understand that a lot of these revelations that Anne Catherine Emmerich is relating about the life of Jesus, she gave to someone else, and that person wrote them down. So this is like the collector or the editor's commentary here, his observations about Anne Catherine Emmerich. Well, from the very first part of this, here Anne Catherine Emmerich repeated an admirable manner, although she had never heard nor read them, a number of the laws of Moses. To have never heard, to never have read. That's an interesting predicament that Anne Catherine Emmerich, but, you know, this is the approach of Scripture, and she didn't hear it, so probably not in the lectionary, these laws. She didn't read it. You know, what does that tell us about kind of her education or her the availability of the Scripture? So there's a lot that you can kind of peel back just from this simple little commentary. It says, Sister Emmerich was rejoiced when told that all these laws could be found in the Bible, and she wondered at having heard them so correctly. So she might not have read them, she might not have heard them, but the Lord God reveals them to her. And in this revelation, it is simply biblical revelation. So it's a confirmation of what she's receiving as it aligns with the Holy Scriptures. This brings us to the end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Please share this podcast with others, rate and review it wherever you listen. Share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends, and encourage them to so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.